Detroit News, Lions beat writer Justin Rogers. Whenever I'm bored out of my mind and I've hit the end of the internet and I've got just nothing else to do, I listen to Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who wish they had as much face time with Cooter as Matthew Stafford. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 246. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How you doing, brother?
Chris, I'm all right, recovering from a cold, but here I'm looking at the Lions draft pick right now, and we currently have the fifth overall pick. The amusing part of that being we would have the sixth pick, but the Cardinals have the tiebreaker over us.
Of course. All right, today's show, we're going to review the Vikings game. We'll talk about that briefly. We'll take a sneak peek ahead at the draft, because what else would you do around this time? We're going to take a quick look at the salary cap. We're going to talk about and spread some love for Frank Ragnow. Look ahead to the game against the Bucks and a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Case, you ready to go, my man?
When it comes to our draft position, Chris, it feels like we're always just holding our ankles.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements first. Check us out and help us out on the Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from...
I'm not going to do it full blast. I got a cold. Guam.
Okay. Of course, our very first donor, Mathis, and Brian Burkheiser from iPrevail and iPrevailBand.com. Check them out. Check us out. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. You get on there, you get it, give as little as a dollar a month, but you can get more. We appreciate more. You get access to the private Slack chat channel. It's a great chat application, your phone, your desktop, whatever. Chat with the Riz, with Case, me, Trev, Punk Rockin' Trev, Sandman's there, Brian, everybody, all the cool people there. It's the most intelligent chat on the internet, and I'm going to tell you right now, that's really hard to find. This is the time when you need something like this. Like I said, as little as a dollar a month, we'll get you in. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. We'll get you in there, and you get all kinds of other extra special stuff, but it's a great, great group of folks in there. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast. Get in there. We're trying to get a couple more followers before we do our first post. We're trying to get as many followers as we can without posting. See what kind of fun we can have with that. Also, we're on Twitter, more active than ever, at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see Case
stuffing his stockings.
Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora. We're on Pandora now. All those things. We're everywhere. Just find us and rate us and tell them, give us those 5 stars. They love that. And of course, if you'd like to give us some constructive criticism or just talk about the show with us, we're happy to do that in the subreddit at any time. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us in the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And first, I have to apologize to our listeners. God, you guys, you pummeled me, and I deserved it. I got so beat up at work last week. I had no free time at all. I had some major stuff going on, and it was crazy town. Case was ready to go.
I wasn't. I was so sick.
But you were going to power through. You were going to power through. And then the next day, Riz, when Case was back at work, sick, Riz was going to do it, and I couldn't do it then either. It's all on me. I apologize. It's the first time that I've absolutely failed you guys like this, and it's all my fault. So I accept responsibility. Send, you know, murderous threats to Case's house, and he'll let me know about them. So it'll be fun. All right, we're back in it. We're back in the groove. No worries about all that. Let's talk about the Vikings game. What a exciting game. It happened just as everybody thought it would. It played out exactly as the narrative beforehand kind of laid out, didn't it, Case?
Well, I mean, Kind of.
The end result. But the thing between the whistles or the guns, I guess, didn't kind of play. Like, we had a defensive showing.
Right. Well, for a moment there. Yeah. No, I mean, but bottom line, you know, we're a worse team than we were the last time we faced them. And they're a better team than they were the last time they faced us. So that it was, you know, it was our largest margin of loss on the year. Our second largest margin of loss was against them the last time we played them. Yep. I don't, you know, that we
first game we didn't have a lead. We didn't have
right, right, right. That we were only 1 point off from that, I think. Am I getting that right? Yeah, because it was 13 points. The last one was 12 points. Yep. You know, that we were only 1 point off from that is at least, you know, I don't know. It's something maybe.
If you're looking for something and grasping at something to take away.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're not wrong. There was definitely a defensive life showing, especially early in the game. Then one thing that I've seen that pretty consistently with this defense this year and that I very much don't know that I can fully explain because I expected the opposite was that I would have expected earlier in games and earlier in halves for them to be giving up a lot more yards than they have. Whereas it's been at the end of halves and end of games where they've gone into full-blown collapse. And that's just... That wasn't what I was expecting this year, and I don't know exactly how to explain it. If you have theories about it, please feel free to share them. We'll parse through some things, and I'm sure when I do deep digs during the off season, I'll come up with some reasons as to why I think that's
don't say digs. A lot of people that's very triggering for a lot of people. Still,
touchy subject. Yeah, sorry.
Ooh, and I'm not saying it's just a touchy subject for a lot of people. Yeah, no, you're right. It's interesting. I think there's been some interesting things raised. There was an article that I didn't get to dive into and a lot of chat about people saying that every single defense in the NFL is easier to learn than the Patriots and now the Lions defense, right? So do we not have the smart guys? I don't want to say that. I don't want to, you know, because they have to have some level of intelligence to make it to the NFL. There's no question about that. It's difficult to learn. I think we've had some injuries. I think we have a lot of other things going on there as well that are beyond this. I don't think it's a bad scheme myself. I don't think because it's hard, it's bad. I think that helps you in a number of ways, helps you win games. I haven't looked yet, but this is worth some research when you go into your something besides digs time. Look at how when Belichick took over and into Patricia's tenure with the Viking or the New England defense, how they did over the years, because it feels like, and again, this is a feels, not from memory, no data here, but it feels like they got to be a real strong defense more over time. And I would bet that they won more of their games earlier on through offense as they cycled through players, nice players that they loved, players maybe they didn't like, whatever, to get to the right mix of people to run that show. So I wonder if this is really a time thing to make this work.
Well, and I don't know, you know, I think early on in the Brady Belichick era, they did rely more heavily on defense. And then as time went on, they put their resources a little bit further towards, and I think the offense to just support Tom Brady. And as that happened, I think they did, you know, make it a little bit harder by bringing in guys who weren't quite as, they didn't focus quite as much on bringing the guys that would fit perfectly with what Belichick wanted to do on defense. And I think that's, we saw some decline as they decided to take some pressure off of Brady. They started focusing again on the defense, and now the defense is elite again.
I'd think about it too. Like, if you think about in those days when they started shifting towards offense, those were the Peyton Manning's Indianapolis Colts years when they were the team, like those two were the teams to beat. And you're just not going to stop the Colts. They meet twice a year, right? Or once a year, then I forget how one. But they at least twice a year with the playoffs. And you had to beat them if you were the Patriots to get to the Super Bowl. So you had to tee up some points. You needed to invest the capital and the treasure into your offense because you weren't going to be able to shut down the Colts on defense in those days. It just wasn't a thing that anybody could do. So I think tailoring to that, I think there's a lot of that. And the worst case, as long as they're picking good athletes, I don't think if this Patricia time and Quinn time ends, it's a bad idea to have a lot of really smart guys on your defense.
Right. Well, and we've talked about, you know, and I know that a lot of Lions fans disagree, and that's okay. But we've talked about before how we personally feel that you need to give the any coach 3 to 4 years to fully implement a system unless it's absolutely clear that they have no idea what they're doing. And I know that some Lions fans will feel that way, but I think that there is a lot of mitigating circumstances that have led to this. But if you're bringing in what is clearly, you know, a complicated scheme, it's going to take some time to get it to where you want to get it. And, you know, injuries and things like that exacerbate that situation. So it was always going to take some time. Of course, we're a little bit disappointed. I'll get into a little bit of where we probably would have ended up this year if certain specific things hadn't been unfortunate for us, but at a later point in the show. But ultimately, I mean, if you are trying to completely turn a 180 on a unit and make them do something they've never done, you're going to have to, it's going to take time. Yep. And 2 years, unfortunately, wasn't enough. We all hoped that the second year would be enough, but
I think in the first year, there was a lot of unrealistic expectations. We were part of it.
I mean, I agree with that.
Right? And I think that really crashed people to the ground. And then this year came in, and there's a number of reasons that things have landed the way they have. I would say that, you know, you talked about it last time we talked, that luck is an important part of it, right? Of all of this. We've led every game. And other than the times we've played Minnesota, we've been in every game till the very, very end. This record could be completely different. And if the ball had bounced a different way a couple of times.
But we obviously know the Green Bay game happened. We know, yeah. You know, that the we were inches away on a couple other games early on in the season. I mean, and it's like,
all of a sudden, we're talking about how they're heroes, Quinn and Patricia, right? So those things may be out of the control, but there's things that they could control as well. You just have to say, if these were games that we were losing by, you know, 10, 15 points, I would absolutely be on that bus.
No,
I'd be up
that.
Front shifting gears, getting into high gear right away to toss this because it's not working. I just don't think that's the case. I think we have a team that's been very, very close, and obviously, next year is an absolutely crucial year for these guys. Mm-hmm. But I also believe that the conversations that they had on building this team out, what it was going to take, just by, you know, kind of looking at how Quinn handles it and how he communicates and how Patricia has been handling and communicating, they have a longer time. I bet they've been told they've got, you know, 4 years to get this thing together. I do not doubt that that's the case at all. I think that both Quinn and Patricia will have two more years here, and be it good or bad, that's what I think the future holds for us as a team, unless next year they absolutely burn it down, and then all bets are off.
Yeah. I agree.
All right, so we talk about it, the Vikings game was the game. I think we're all kind of immune to it, or at least a little numb to it right now afterwards. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about something we'd said numerous times, and we've iterated a couple times about it on the show here, or alluded to it, I'm sorry. If we lose Stafford, the season's over. Mm-hmm. Season's done, right? Everybody knew that before. Now Stafford's gone. Driscoll's gone. And we got the plow, you know, running the show here, okay? We know the season's over. We know that that's what it is. So what are we looking at, right? We've talked a little bit about, well, we're looking at live fire snaps in what's a different kind of version of the preseason. We'll talk a little bit, I think, in a bit about Marvin going on IR. Yep. I think that's something that kind of works into this as well. But one of the things that I want to see, and there's one guy in particular, I'm kind of personally invested in it. One of the guys in the Slack said it's only because I spent, you know, 3/4 of the season learning how to say his name. But Imani Arroyo, I fucked it up.
Yeah, of course you did.
Imani Arroyo.
Keep working, buddy. Keep working on it.
Oh man, he's a guy that I really want to see. I want to see him get some snaps. This is the time where a first year cornerback gets a hell of an opportunity. No one does well year one as a cornerback in the NFL, and there's obviously an exception here and there, right? But it's a 2-year to 3-year development period. Him able to get snaps at a time now when it really mathematically doesn't mean anything for the team is great, both for him, for his development, and for the Lions to evaluate what we have in that draft pick. Mm-hmm. I want to see him on the field all the time. I think that's what this is really all about. right now is evaluating guys that we otherwise wouldn't have seen and developing guys that otherwise wouldn't have an opportunity like this to develop. And I think it's really, really important. And I think this is actually a little bit of a jump start and a head start for us for next year. It also gives you an opportunity to build up draft capital and guys you may not want to keep. So yeah, you can do a lot of different things here with a season like this. So it's, while it's not as fun to watch, it's not as fun to root, from a team and an administrative perspective, there's a lot of work that you can do this time of year. Now, Case, you always said the one thing you don't want to happen.
Well, hang on.
Situation.
Before we get into that real quick, I want to jump back to Matthew Stafford and get real quick, once again, some perspective on where this is. You know, you said, we all said that without Stafford, the season's over. Well, if you look, you know, we've lost five games. We've lost six games in a row, but we've lost all five games without Stafford. We all know that. If you want to look at, okay, Chicago, Dallas, Washington, Chicago, those four games, and how close they all were, all within one possession, and how bad at times our offense was in those games. Even if both backups had moments where they looked good, they were clearly, you know, inferior, in over their heads.
Yeah.
That we couldn't have come away with three wins out of that and be sitting at, you know, six, 7-1 would it be right now? I don't remember. But anyway, we'd be one game out of, you know, a half game off of 800, which is not, and I'm, I promise I'm not trying to toot my own horn at this particular moment, but that would have been about a half game off of where I predicted the Lions were going to be this year anyway.
Right.
And we would still have would be playing Tampa, you know, with Matthew Stafford and playing, you know, Green Bay, who are beatable, with Matthew Stafford, and, you know, all these things that we very easily could have ended up over 500 by a half game if he hadn't gotten hurt. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's easy to look at it, you know, in the way that, yes, we've lost six games in a row, and that is so incredibly frustrating. But I mean, that a lot of that, I can't sit here and make any guarantees we would have won those games. Maybe we still lose six in a row. But I mean, realistically, ask yourself, if you take the most important position in the field and remove it and go with, you know, a severe downgrade, where do you think personally we would realistically be record-wise, and how would you feel about it if we ended the year at, you know, 8-7-1 as opposed to 3, you know, if we don't win another game?
And Stafford going down, I mean, you hate to say it, but it does help. It helps you in a way. This season helps us in a number of ways. I would point to the San Francisco 49ers again as an example. Garoppolo went down. Their season just absolutely tanked, and they seem to be doing pretty good this year. They seem to have a pretty decent record and made a quick, pretty good show of it. But anyway, okay, so let's go back to the other points, Casey,
yes,
because you had said that there is absolutely one thing that you don't want to happen in the case that we're in right now.
Right.
And of course, we're the Detroit Lions, so what happened?
So what I said was, you know, we want to treat the last few seasons or last few games of the season, once you're out of playoff contention, basically as the pre-season or along those lines is what I said. And the one thing that you don't want to have happen is a whole bunch of guys get hurt. Well, the only silver lining to that is, of course, that you get to now, you know, pull up the dregs of your roster and just play those guys and see if there's anything worth keeping around. And so there isn't, I mean, I'm not saying there's no value whatsoever, but what you'd much rather be doing is continuing to help build on the complexity of the scheme, especially on defense, getting guys who have struggled more time to just experiment, more time to look at things from a little bit more of an analytic standpoint than a competitive standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But that it makes it difficult when you're hemorrhaging talent on the field. So
what? It's harder?
A little bit.
All right. So yes, Marvin Jones going to IR, gone for the season. We're ticking guys off the roster pretty quickly. And we're going to get a look at a lot of names that we maybe aren't familiar with. But again, it'll help us a couple ways. Again, build draft capital or build trade capital on guys we may want to get something out of. And I think draft
cough, Darius Slay, cough.
I think it's a good time to have draft picks. We'll put it that way, because there's a number of areas, and we'll talk about the draft a little bit here coming up. But I have to talk about, you know, there's a dearth of good teams in Detroit right now. Are you aware of that case? Like the Pistons aren't doing great.
Yeah, I'm vaguely aware. I don't follow any of the other ones very closely, but I am somewhat aware of that.
The Tigers are undefeated in December so far, so that's good. Yeah, no, it's a tough time in Detroit, which is the only city to have all major sports. This is from like 1934.
And I know Michigan had their heartbreaker.
Yeah, and now they're going to wind up playing Alabama in a bowl game, so that should be a real interesting good deal. Anyway, all that, you still get your tickets. Maybe it's your sporting events. You know, they're a lot cheaper than they used to be. That's a great time to go out. Maybe get the family out, see some stuff, have some fun, get a chance to get down by the sideboards and see players and stuff. Hockey's great if you get down by the glass. The guys will throw a puck over for you and stuff. They're really, really great. But you get your tickets, you can probably find them. You know, teams are not doing as well. You know what that means? It drives pricing down on those tickets. And when you're doing that, when you're getting your tickets, you want to be able to do it in a way where you are the most intelligent shopper possible, right? How do you want to do that? Well, check out SeatGeek. Their app is awesome. The website is awesome. No one does it better than SeatGeek. I've been through a million different ticket providers, and I exclusively use SeatGeek now. And it's awesome that we've been able to build a relationship with them. They've contacted us directly and said, "Hey, we want to talk to your listeners. You guys, your listeners are smart, and you are. We have data about you, so you can feel good about yourself. You're smart, you're passionate, and you're a group of people that they directly want to be able to speak to. So you're getting your concert tickets, you're getting your Lions tickets, Pistons tickets, whatever, anything you want to go, any show." Any of that stuff, check out the SeatGeek app. What they do is they have over 50,000 five-star reviews on it, but they go through tickets from all over the web. They rank each deal on a scale of 1 to 10, and they give it to you on a seat map. So you look at the map of the arena or the stadium or the concert hall you're going to, and you can see exactly where those seats are. You can click on it, and they'll give you a ranking. It's either red, orange, or green. And green means you're getting a really, really good deal on that seat. Red means not as good a deal, right? So not only do they know what the market is, and you can see what seats you're going for, but you can see when you're getting a good deal on those seats. It's really, really cool. Use that app. You pick your own seats, and you know how to do it. I use it, like I said, I do it every game I go to. I didn't have to for the Sandman game, the Sweet game that we went to, but any kind of games and shows that I go to, the I Prevail deal, all went right there on the SeatGeek app.
Yeah. If anybody wants to buy me tickets to the Elton John show coming up in Fargo, you should go on SeatGeek and do that.
There you go. Go ahead and do it. I'll do it again. I always do it. They are my exclusive user. So here's the deal. All this talk, I mean, they again, these guys wanted to talk to you. So take them seriously and consider using that SeatGeek app. They're going to help you to do that. They're going to help you with that decision. Okay. They're helping get you a better deal. SeatGeek's going to give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today, use the promo code LIONS, and you get $10 off on your first purchase. It's promo code LIONS, $10 off on your first purchase. I mean, for some shows, right, you could that's a lot of that, you could get there pretty almost nothing for the smaller shows, but check it out, SeatGeek app, use the key promo code LIONS and get your tickets. Help us out, help you out. Great way to go. SeatGeek, the best ticket agency on the internet. All right. Thank you, SeatGeek, for all your help. All right, let's go on to the next one. Salary cap projections. There's a lot going on. This is starting to get to the time where people are thinking, when they stop thinking about playoffs, right, and they know the results on the win-loss stats aren't there, they say, well, what about next year? And sometimes they take a little bit of a breath, but we don't, because we go year round. let's take a look. Salary cap projections. You know, people have been debating Bob Quinn's draft. They love to point to tease Tabor. They like to point to, Tavai, they're not sure about still, but who's been pretty solid, I think, this year and is a rookie for sure. They talk about a couple things and say he can't draft, but that salary cap, that's that free agency area. And he's done pretty well for us in free agency. A lot of good work there. And I think, Case, we're in either the second best position from a salary cap position in the division.
I think we're first.
Ooh, it's
I'd have to double check that. Minnesota and Chicago are definitely below us. Yeah. They're near the bottom of the league. We're near league average, and I think Green Bay is slightly below us. But I'd have to double check that. I don't remember. We looked it up a while ago, and it off the top of my head, I can't remember. But with the way that the salary cap keeps going up, which is actually kind of a fascinating thing to me, I think it's gone up about 40% over the last. 5 years or something like that. It's just off the top of my head. I don't remember the specifics, but it's gone up a lot recently. Every year it keeps ticking up by a significant number. And that actually makes me wonder if that isn't something that the NFL is doing preemptively to help themselves as a bargaining chip in the I'm not sure that's a really a good idea for the NFL.
Yeah, I was
going to
say that's a really
bad. I do wonder about that. Like if that isn't the way they've been bumping up the salary cap so significantly, I'm not sure if they're just trying to normalize from what was a significantly under
that number
salary
based
caps
on,
or what
on revenues on a number.
But the revenue can't be going up by that much every year.
Yeah, it can. It actually can. You get the TV contracts changing, so they get the money out of that, and then foreign markets, the expansion into foreign markets.
Oh, wow,
it's been huge. The whole Game Pass thing that they've been rolling out and putting out there. They're making some serious bread.
Anyway, what I would say is that how much the salary cap goes up doesn't really change that much, because everybody else gets the same bump, and it's not like a percentage bump. It's just a straight up like across the board. Remember when George Bush sent out $200 to everyone?
$200. if anyway. George Bush sends you another $200, consider our Patreon.
right. But the point being, it was across the board. And it's the same thing with this. Now the teams that use that cap space more wisely are definitely going to see an advantage from that. And I generally think that Bob Quinn is at very least league average, in that area. So I don't think we see a negative from that by any means.
And let's remember where he took it over. He was eaten.
Contract. Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a train wreck, a smoking hole in the ground, of what used to be a football team in a roster, just in terrible, terrible salary cap shape. So it's definitely he's been having to climb out from a hole in that one.
Yes. No, I agree.
So all right. So what are we talking about? How active do you see us in free agency? It's interesting when you look at this team, right? Because you don't build a team from free agency. You often overpay for the star players when you pick them up in free agency. Obviously, the best way is to draft super intelligently and get the best players, because then you get them on the rookie contract for low prices. But we have a couple of needs this year. And on one hand, I would say that depending where you fall on the spectrum of where you think people kind of fit here, we have been close in a number of games, and we very easily could be, we could have 9 wins right now as a team. I'm not saying we would but we could. There's a very understandable and viewable place where this could be a 9-win team right now. It depends how you look at all these things. So they may feel without injuries and with a couple of the right pieces, we could be into a good place. I often say that what I believe they're doing is building out the baseline of talent across this team, so that instead of having an immediate drop off if someone gets injured and just a few star players and a bunch of just above bum level players, you've got good solid players across on good contracts. And then the last, lever you pull is to bring in the couple of superstars that push you over the top. So if that's your mindset, let's think about free agency. What are we looking at here, positionally, and maybe anybody that you can think of?
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate later, but, as far as what we'd be looking for, if there is still a good chance that we could be trading Darius Slay because we don't want to pay him.
We've got him for another year, though.
Yeah, well, we got him for another year if he doesn't sit out.
And it's a contract year, and he had a down year this year. He may want to play to up his value.
That is a hard call to make, and I don't know which end of the spectrum he's going to fall on. He had a hard year the year before and still decided to threaten to sit out. Yeah, so,
that's a good point.
It's tough. And even at that, he could still, if they could get good value for him at trade, they could probably get somebody who is going to be cheaper in the long run, who is still a serviceable number one cornerback, probably nowhere near his ceiling. Right. But considering that he's had less than perfect 2 years behind him now, and I don't want to overstate that. I actually think, when he got healthy this year, he's been good. I've seen him make a lot of good plays. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been bad. he just hasn't been the elite player consistently over the last 2 years that we'd seen before. But and I don't remember off the top of my head. We'll get into who exactly I think the free agents will target are. But theoretically, they could go after a top cornerback in the free agent market.
They'd have to. Right.
Right.
There's no hope of cornerback if we get rid of Slay without something.
Right. And now I'll get into the draft a little bit too, but there's possibility there for a first round pick, which could completely change. We all know how much draft stuff changes from,
That's
today to the actual draft. But cornerback could be an issue if we're not convinced that A'shaun Robinson is going to improve both health-wise and in terms of if he's truly on the downtrend of his career, we could see him getting let go and see some focus on the defensive line. We are always in the market to improve at linebacker. If we were ready to move on from, say, Rick Wagner, I think the rest of our offensive line is set. But if we were ready to move on from Rick Wagner, we could look at free agency for that. Hopefully we wouldn't give out another right tackle contract that was quite as monstrous as what we gave to Rick Wagner. If I'm criticizing one move that Bob Quinn made, it was probably that one. He just hasn't ever lived up to the contract. And I know that there was injury involved in that as well, but
he just hasn't quite got there. I think that the contract and signing it, I was all for it. I thought it was good at the time. Unfortunately, he just wasn't what we signed. You know what I mean? He wasn't the Rick Wagner that we saw before. And that's the part that kind of bums me out, that it didn't work out the way he was made. He didn't earn it because he didn't play up to the level he did before that.
And then wide receiver. And I suppose this is where I'm already playing devil's advocate without coming right out and saying it. I do think that there is potential, especially with all the injuries we've seen this year and the potential for long-term effects of those injuries, that we may need to go back one more year to that build with a lot of good talent instead of going after a few main talent. Because wide receiver is sitting at a position now where, and I will talk about Marvin Jones in a little bit here too. I'm very happy with that signing overall. 100%, you all know that I have been. But this is another season-ending IR. I think while he was on pace while Stafford was playing, I'll get into that. Okay. I'm getting ahead of myself. Yeah. But that there's him and Danny Amendola, and while our Hall has been, brilliant at moments, I don't know that they really want to trust him for sure. So, I mean, there's a lot of groundwork that could be put in on the wide receiver position. So they're not putting yourself in so much pressure in the draft to come up with those things. So I do think there is still going to be a fair amount of work to be done this offseason. And it all just depends on how they feel about players' futures.
Can I just really quick give a hell of a big salute to Danny Amendola? Because all preseason, leading from the signing, it was great. We love him, but it was always, he's injury. He'll be there for a couple games, and that's it. We're not going to see much. He's been a really solid player this year.
He's taken a lot of big hits, too.
Yeah. And you know what? He hasn't gotten the credit he probably deserves for the year that he's had and the time and effort he's put in for this team. Danny Amendola was a great signing. I think he was really, really a solid positive for this team this year. Unfortunately, it's just been a really bad year, but
yeah.
That's a good one that oft gets overlooked. So, all right, well, let's talk a little bit about, let's do a little sneaky peeky at the draft. And we got Riz ramping up, of course, with your news on the draft. We'll pull him in. He's got kids sports at this time of year, so he has a hard time. He's, managing it for two sites and so on. So we get bits and butts of him in this time of the year. But kids sports are almost over. We almost got our Riz back. And just in time for the draft season to really get kicked off. We'll do Shrine Game work. We'll have our fireside chat again this year. Senior Bowl, it's depending on a couple things that are going. I've got all the stuff in for credentials. If it's not me there, we will definitely have somebody. And then I'm also finagling for going to the Combine this year. We have a couple things planned for the Combine, which will blow some people's minds, like we sometimes tend to do. So we'll do that. We'll get that together, and we'll have more out about all that coming up. But let's take just a real quick sneak peek here at the draft case and get your thoughts on what this is going to look like for us. This first round thinking, you alluded to it a little bit at the possibility of a cornerback in third round. We're sitting at number 5 draft pick right now. It doesn't look like we got a whole lot of wins in the future of this season. Thankfully, not a whole lot of games either. But what are you thinking? What's your thinking?
I mean, the best thing that could happen to us is for us to manage to get into the number two pick.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh.
Because if that happened, we'd be drafting Chase Young. Mm-hmm. And there isn't really, I don't think there's any doubt about it. No matter how much people rag on Bob Quinn for getting too fancy sometimes with his draft picks, I just don't think there's any way around that. Chase Young, edge player, Ohio State, he's the Nick Bosa. He's the, you know,
super stud.
He's the top guy. They would take him if they were in that position, assuming the Bengals took Joe Burrow, which seems like more or less a given at this point.
It would be absolutely insane if they didn't. But let me ask you, just theoretically, let's not play out how we get there. But we've got the first pick. Do you pass on a talent like Joe Burrow because you have Stafford for a couple of years?
Well, I don't. That's the question. The question is whether or not you think you have Stafford for a couple of years, or if you think you have Stafford for a long time.
You're sitting at number one. What do you do
if you think you only have Stafford for two more years?
I'm asking you. I'm not asking what people think. I'm asking what do you do if you're at number one in the draft right now?
And it's no. That's what I'm saying. Like, do I think?
I don't know.
If I think Stafford, and I don't, I think Stafford will be around a while. So no, okay. I don't do it.
Okay. And the only reason I ask because. These are the kinds of conundrums that the Lions wind up with on draft day, right? This is an obviously a big one. Right. It likely won't happen, but it's one of those ones where you run into where it's just the wrong freaking timing for us. But a guy like Burrow, man, that's somebody's going to love him as their quarterback. Some team's going to have a great, great talent for a long time, it looks like. And you don't get a shot at that kind of thing very often, right? And when you're sitting there and you're on this kind of bubble kind of time with Stafford, it's tough. It makes things really, really tough. So, and I'm not sure, I haven't looked yet what next year's quarterback class might look like or the year after, but eventually we're going to have to start thinking about what that class looks like for us and when do we pick some. That's the only reason why I asked. I'm sorry to stop in the middle of your discussion.
No, that's okay. The next couple options that I think are likely for the Lions, and I think the one that I'm seeing mocked to the Lions the most often right now, and this could change, would be Derrick Brown, defensive line, interior guy. Obviously, that would be a scenario of more or less replacing Damon Harrison. Now I don't know enough about Derrick Brown, know how he fits as a nose tackle, but he's got the size for it. So you'd think, and as I always say every year, I don't start watching college football until the regular season's over, really. So this is all very preliminary based on what other people are saying right now. When I get into it, I'll have much stronger opinions. So this is just a very brief earworms to put in your head and pay attention to as things go forward. And the other one is the cornerback, Jeff Okuda out of Ohio State. So it looks like Ohio State would be a popular place to get players from. I know that probably hurts some people, but...
It's okay.
But no, Okuda has the talent to possibly be, you know, a long-term number one cornerback in the league. You know, I generally am not super thrilled with taking cornerbacks in the first round, but if the talent is truly there and the value is there, then cornerbacks also are expensive. Like, really good cornerbacks are also really expensive on their second contracts, as we know.
Yep.
So if you can get a guy who can step in there in maybe... not his first year and be elite, but if he can get there in his second or third year, then you could still get 5 years, three or four years of elite play out of a guy on a very cheap contract. That's still worthwhile.
Sure.
So I could see the value in that. There's also a few offensive linemen who could all potentially play right tackle for us if they decided to move on from Rick Wagner. You've got Andrew Thomas out of Georgia, Jedrick Willis Jr. out of Alabama, and Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa. And I'm not sure that I think the team will go that direction, because I do think that they're pretty happy generally with where the offensive line sits right now. But it's certainly within the realm of possibility that if something were to happen, they would change their mind on the future of Taylor Decker. Mm-hmm. then that is a possibility. But
there you go. All right. So with that, that's a good little chat. We'll get more into that.
We'll get way deeper into that as time goes on. So those are just a few names to keep in your mind at the time being.
Quick glide across, right, and help you orient your thinking as well, and get started on that. And you can, you know, this is that time of the year when all the arguments about who we should get and who we shouldn't are there. So it's fun to kind of drop that stuff out there. Really quick, you know, Case, it's that time of season. I've been working on a holiday tune. It's kind of a ripoff of another one. You want to hear it real quick?
Do it.
It's the holiday season and my balls need squeezing. That's all I got so far. But I think it's pretty good. I think it's got legs.
Potential.
All right. Well, it is the holiday season.
You'll hear it. Like it'll be as ubiquitous as All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
But you don't have to say it in front of everybody. It is the holiday season and my balls need squeezing. But also, you're going to be out shopping like crazy. Where else would you go but Amazon? No, you want to fight all those people out there, that snow, the cold. What's the temperature out there right now, Case?
Below zero.
How many? 40,
I'm not sure.
How many feet divided by 10 of snow do you have outside?
We got hit by two pretty solid snowstorms. If I should take a picture on my way out after we're done. I've got an appointment on my way out of the parking lot of the apartment complex. I should take a photo of the snow that they piled up already. Not even halfway through December. Yeah, so and I'll put that on Twitter. Have you put it on Twitter or something?
So with all that going on, no one wants to go out in the cold. No one wants to go out in the snow. And you got to get that stupid gift for your boss or some coworker, the dumb white elephant thing. Don't go out and do it for real. Don't waste your time, effort, energy, gas, your stress levels through the roof. This is a tough week right now. This is one of the most depressing weeks of the year and stressful weeks of the year. Sorry, not depressing, stressful weeks of the year for people. It's called Black Week, and it's tough on people because you're getting lined up for the holidays. Don't do that to yourself, man. Head on over to Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You'll be popping right onto the Amazon website. By going through Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com, you actually get sets a cookie on your browser, and they'll give us a kickback on everything you buy there. But you never have to leave. You can do it with no pants on, which is the only way to be, by the way. Nice mug of hot coffee and just rolling through Amazon, looking and buying for all your friends and family. You can ship it. You can have it gift wrapped. Think about all the time, energy, stress, hassle you're saving without having to leave the comfort of your own home. Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Use that, please, when you do your shopping this year. And help us by doing that, because it helps us do great things with the show and helps pay for all server and bandwidth and all that kind of stuff. And we count on that from you guys. So thank you all for doing that. Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. All right, let's talk about Taylor Decker. This guy has been through the gamut of fan reactions this year. A couple of ill-timed holding calls, and immediately people were screaming how he sucked and how terrible he was, but he was rated the highest offensive player from week 14, Case. How did a guy who sucks so bad get so good and nobody noticed?
I mean, this isn't the first time that I feel like he's had a good game. I mean, he has good games. He's been more boom or bust than I think
his bust wanted just to terrible times, very, very inopportune moments, and they stand out, get a little confirmation bias going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he gets abused by really good edge rushers.
Most left
and,
ends.
And I don't think though. There's, no, I'm not, I certainly won't argue that. So. He does, but.
Yeah, I'm still for re-signing him. I think he's you know, I
well, it's always a case of what else,
what
you know,
you get instead.
What can you do better? Right. I mean, who's better out there? And you know, what's your replacement plan for him? If
addition by subtraction is a real thing, but what are you going to get to make yourself better in place of Taylor Decker, right? Or all you're doing is creating a hole by getting rid of him. Or not signing him, and it's another position you got to find somebody for. At some point, you got to say someone like Taylor's right, and you just got to make sure you get him for the right money.
Unfortunately, he does lead the team, in penalties. He's got 8 offensive holding penalties, which is a lot. So hopefully they can, you know, hopefully in a second year with
Mr. Bevel's
Bevel. Office. And they can work on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the kind of thing you'd hope that a year in an offense improves on. Yep. But we'll see.
Know who else we need to talk about?
Frank Ragnow.
Frank the Tank Ragnow, highest rated center for the year in the NFL. I just want to, I don't often say how great my predictions and prognostications are, but I do want to remind
me.
I do want to remind folks that I thought he should start from year one, and he's proven that he is the guy for that role. And I'm glad. Maybe it was
start at
development.
Center.
Yeah. That's what I meant. Start at center. Maybe your development helped him and made it so that he would be a better center because he played guard for a year. But either way, number one on the year, Frank Ragnow. Damn, Quinn can't draft. More proof. Put that one in the pudding, folks. Mm-hmm.
I said earlier, I think that the Lions are fairly happy with where their offensive line is. I don't expect a major overhaul there. If there's one, you know, new starter, that won't be a huge shock. But I don't think it's likely that we're going to see that be the main focus this year, which is nice. It's nice. We've had to focus so much energy on the offensive line for so long now that if they are able to just do a little bit here and there to improve it, as opposed to making it having to spend massive contracts on it, that would be really nice.
Yeah, gotta get Graham Glasgow signed. Gotta get that done. That's the one I really want us to keep. Oh, really quick. I don't know if were able to catch the post game show yet. Did you hear that Levi called?
No, I didn't. That's great.
He's back. He's still around. Love it. I was so happy, so excited. All right, let's talk about a little bit of fantasy football. Quick. Fantasy player, fantasy playoffs are starting in the DLP leagues right now. And get ready because it's going to be a good time. Case, I got to tell you, in the Champions League, the massive champion that I am, the winner of winners, my Mahomes injury cost me a shot in the playoffs this year. I am just a mess. I'll tell you on the other side, though. Remember when my boy ran your team last year?
Yeah.
It didn't do so well?
Yeah,
he is first in his league by a very solid margin right now.
Very nice.
Playoffs. He lets me know about it every day. I told him, well, maybe he can just win a T-shirt. I already got a T-shirt, Dad. No, so he's doing well. But my team, I'm out. I'm looking from the outside. It's a sad, frustrating day. But it is what it is. And then I know I had mentioned to you that in the Pick'em leagues, I was within 2 points. I had crept back. I was really hot. I'm down by like 8 or 9 points now. I had two really, really bad weeks. And I didn't change anything. I stuck to, you know, my evidently failing methodology. But I was right there. I tasted it for a minute. And now I'm back in the swamp. How about you? How are you doing this year?
Despite the fact that I've lost 3 weeks in a row, I am the number one seed in my fantasy league. That has come off some down performances by Russell Wilson, Mike Evans down performances, who is now out. Marvin Jones is now out. Golden Tate is now questionable this week. My players are dropping like flies. So I need a return to form from Russ this week and for Christian McCaffrey to hold it up for me. I'm glad I have Austin Hooper back. That was a big part of some of those losses. I was not having Austin Hooper, but because for a while there, I mean, for a while I had the number one, the quarterback, wide receiver, running back and tight end.
Jeez,
and there's just, oh that's how God. I went. That's how I went on. I went on a 10 game win streak. So like
people hate you, don't they?
All good things come to an end. But yeah, no, I'll be playing the fourth seed this week. So
All right, hopefully I
can sneak one out.
There you go. All right. Let's talk about something that came up in the subreddit. And when I saw the title is this person named Calvin Galladay, by the way, in the subreddit should be writing clickbait headlines for the blog sites around, because this one, he caught me with it. He said, "The Lions haven't truly replaced Calvin Johnson since he retired." And I'm like, no shit. He's one of the greatest of all times. How are you gonna replace one of the, and then he went in to say, people who say that are idiots. And he had me. Good job, Calvin Galladay. I appreciate it. Can we drop the idea that we need to, or we're going to replace Calvin Johnson?
How many years in a row do you guys want to draft a wide receiver in the first, you know, in the first round and hope for another Calvin Johnson? Cause that's the answer to that question.
It's not just that we haven't replaced him. So that's Bob Quinn's fault. We've had a series of bad GMs and coaches who haven't been able to replace Barry Sanders yet. either.
Yeah. It's really
what an absolute failure. Calvin Galladay, thank you very much. I appreciate you. I don't often actually like get worked up when I see something right, but that one for some reason caught me. It hooked me, and I was like, I'm going in. And then I was like, oh, you got me. Okay, good stuff. Good stuff there. All right. Really quick, just don't want to miss out on Fanatics. If you're getting Lions gear, you know, you did your other shopping at Amazon. It's the same thing with Fanatics. Fanatics.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Fanatics.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Get your Lions gear there. They give us a kickback. It doesn't cost you any more. Just like Amazon doesn't cost you any more either. But doing that helps us out, and it keeps those rich guys from getting richer, and helps some of us low quality poor creators create more stuff for you. So fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com and amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. Don't forget, please. All right, let's quickly do a look ahead to the Buccaneers. There is one thing I'm going to guarantee. I'm going to do the old point to the outfield. We shall get an interception this game. I am putting it down there. Boom. Done.
Okay.
I mean, way out on a limb
chances are probably better in this game than they have any other, just because Jameis Winston is an interception machine.
Don't give away my methodology here. Don't give away my secrets.
But I'd say there's a good chance. I'd say there's a good chance.
This is probably the one game left in the season that we have the best chance of winning. I may have said the Broncos earlier, but boy, they came alive last week, and I don't know what's going on over there. But these Buccaneers have been the same Buccaneers all year. They haven't surprised anybody. There's nothing big going on, and your top shelf fantasy wide receiver's gone.
Yeah, that is true. That does hurt them significantly. They've still got Godwin, and I don't exactly know what our plan is to stop Godwin down the field, but there is a very strong possibility. The issue with this game is that if Stafford was still here, you would expect this game to be a high scoring shootout right now with the way both teams were, you know, going. Without Stafford here, this could be a pick fest, you know, on both sides of the ball. So
I'm not super high on the Bucs defense. And that's why it's one of those games we talked about was going to be a shootout, like the Oakland game, right? We thought it would be just a massive shootout. It was a high scoring game. But that's what this Bucs game is. You have two defenses that have proven unable to stop. You've got Winston, who will throw a lot of interceptions, bad balls, whatever, but he'll also get that big strike, right? The offense on the Bucs is not on the field long typically on their drives. And that's part of what's burnt their defense. Is they get tired and they've worn them out. Now we have two teams that have kind of done that to each other or to their defenses.
To their own defenses,
So with David Blau out there, our offense may run a little slower. I don't know. Maybe it'll be three and out every time. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think it's going to be whose defense is worn out more is going to lose this game.
Hopefully Bo Scarborough gets a heavy dose to try to wear him down.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be a good use for a guy who hasn't got a whole ton of NFL carries. So there you go. Anything else you want to talk about at the Bucs?
No, I think that's, I would love to have a much deeper, you know, conversation about the upcoming teams. And, you know, at the start of next year, we'll go back to doing that. At the time being, it's a little bit difficult just because it's hard to know what we're getting out of this team right now with so many guys likely to miss the game.
Yeah.
It just makes it a little bit more difficult to make predictions.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if I was forced to make a prediction on this game. I think, you know, as every other game other than, you know, the two Vikings games has been, it'll probably be within a possession. So
in the last minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be.
It'll give you something to hope about and then crush your spirits. So.
Yeah. It make you more angry that you lost. And even though you knew you would, because you didn't have Stafford, right? Mm-hmm. It gives you more reason to be angry. So lay loose on the alcohol on Sundays and you'll be a little better off. I found that I don't drink until the post game, and it makes it, I actually am better with everything as it plays out. But there you go. All right, remember, this show needs your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us your feedback. That's what helps us get better. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Send your George Bush $200 over. We'd love it. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Also on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast, and on the Twitter machine @DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see the case, man.
Bacon cookies.
Woo! Give us a call via Bacon some brownies. Give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast so we show up in your little thingy player automatically. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants. I don't know. It might be time for toasters and hot tubs, but no problems, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This show is over.
Hey, Dean Blandino here, and I can tell you unequivocally, that call was 100% wrong.
It's the holiday season, and my balls need squeezing.